Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, identifies the gifts of the Spirit as abilities. God gives you an ability by the power of God, so God gets the glory. Someone is born with a talent. Someone can sing or play football. They are born with that talent.
We've all received gifts of the Spirit, and those gifts may change depending on what season of life we're going through. But those gifts don't come from us, from somewhere deep within ourselves. They come from God. 100% of the ability comes from Him. So He gets all the glory. Our job is to respond to the Spirit's nudging to use those God-given abilities for others. With more from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
He says there are diversity of gifts. Here's the introduction to the gifts. But the same Spirit. And you've seen lists of spiritual gifts, haven't you? Or maybe you've taken one of those tests, which can be helpful, of what gifts you have by answering certain questions. I don't know how accurate they are, but they can be helpful. Realize that it's not completely scripture, but it can be helpful. Sometimes, by just watching people do what they want to do in church, you can see what gifts they have. If I asked somebody to bring me a glass of water, somebody got up and grabbed a glass of water and brought it down and tripped and fell and broke it. You could see different gifts begin to operate. You could see somebody with the gift of exhortation go, I told you to watch where you were going. You gotta be careful. You could see someone with the gifts of help going, I'm gonna go grab the broom and I'm gonna sweep this up. You could see somebody with the gift of prophecy, I knew it was gonna happen. I foresaw that it was gonna happen, and so on and so forth. So there's no one comprehensive list. There's a list in Romans, there's a list in 1 Corinthians. There are gifts that are listed on both of those. They're each one's from there. So we try to bring them together for a comprehensive list. I don't think there is. I think the Holy Spirit works in unique ways and comes up on people's lives and gifts them. I think that there is a gift of prayer. I think there's a gift of evangelism. I think there's a gift of organization. I believe there are the supernatural gifts of prophecy, of speaking in tongues, of miracles, of gifts of healings. And we'll talk about those. But it's a broad sense. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you gifts that you can be able to effectively do what you're doing for Him with the gift He supplies. That's what 1 Peter chapter 4 says. It says, as each one of you has received a gift, each one of you has received a gift. And maybe more than one. And maybe different gifts at different times depending on what you're doing. As each one of you has received a gift, minister that gift to one another, Peter said, not with your own ability, but with the ability that God supplies. So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, identifies the gifts of the Spirit as abilities. God gives you an ability by the power of God, so God gets the glory. Someone is born with a talent. Someone can sing or play football. They are born with that talent. Someone develops skills. You do something over and over and over and over and over again, and you become good at it. I used to use the analogy of Steve Largent. I probably need to find a new analogy now. But Steve Largent said at one point, who played for Seattle, right? Steve Largent said at one point, every year there's faster, stronger, younger, could leap taller, wide receivers that come in, and every year I keep my job because they don't outwork me. He had become skilled at what he did, even though there were others that were more talented. So we're not talking about talent that you might be born with. That's not the gift of the Spirit. We're not talking about skills. You have a job, you do something every day. I did upholstery for 10 years, almost 10 years, and I became really good at it. I was good at working with my hands. I was good at sewing. I just was good at it. And I became skilled at it. That wasn't a gift of the Spirit. There wasn't the gift of auto upholstery upon Robert Furrow. So we're not talking about talents. We're not talking about gifts. We're talking about abilities that God gives you supernaturally that now God gets the glory from. That people see you being used by God and go, praise God. And I want you, every person in here, to receive the gifts that God has for them. I want you to know what it's like for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. I want you to know what it's like to be witnesses for Him and share your faith. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever all of a sudden just been overwhelmed as you're sharing Christ with someone? You're thinking, I should be writing this down. I didn't know I knew all of these scriptures. As the Holy Spirit empowers you, perhaps with the gift of evangelism for that particular time, or maybe a gift of evangelism for the whole time. Who knows? Because God does things His way. God does them because He chooses them. And so He says, there are a diversity of gifts. There's more than I think that are listed here. They work differently in different people's lives. They are diverse, but the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit of God. He's got the same goal. His purpose is to win people to Christ. His purpose is for you to minister to other people in the church. It's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. We have different positions within the body of Christ. We do what we do for God. Different ministries. Later on, it's going to say, desire the best gift. And so when I was in the Pentecostal churches, they'd say, well, the best gift is tongues. They'd give their reasons why the best gift was tongues. The best gift for me is the gift of teaching. That's the best gift for me. That might not be the best gift for you if you're doing something else within the church. The gift of evangelism might be a better gift for you to have. Now, you might have the gift of evangelism and you might have the gift of teaching like someone like Greg Laurie. I believe that he has both of those gifts. In a strong way, by the way. I think he's got both of those gifts strongly. God has anointed him and gifted him by the Holy Spirit with those two gifts. So you have a ministry, and I believe that we all have a ministry. And God wants to, it's the same Lord, and He wants to empower you in your ministry. But the same Lord. And then it goes on to say, and there are a diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. So I'm preaching here now. Later on this year, a group of guys are going to go to Ireland. There's going to be some preaching that's going on in Ireland overseas. So there's missionary activities. There's local church activities. There's all kinds of different activities. There's small group where people are anointed to do small group kind of things. There's larger stuff, all kinds of activities. So all kinds of variations in which God works. We so much want to put what God does in what we are familiar with and what we do. For some reason, we don't want to see all of this diversity. If you have the gift of prayer, intercession, you get so worried why nobody else is interceding.
How come nobody else is praying? I'm the only one praying.
If you have the gift of helps, why didn't anybody else show up?
You know, same five people every time show up to clean the parking lot.
Well, there's diversity. I hope more people show up to help you, by the way. Maybe we'll make an announcement. We'll help you out. But there's diversity, and it's a good thing. Because we're achieving all that God has for us. Not one person can do it. But every person in the body of Christ, being filled with the Spirit, having His position, having His activities, is uniquely gifted by God through the Holy Spirit to do the work that God's called you to do. And that is just exciting. It's exciting to me that God will fill you that way and work with you in that way. He says in verse 7, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit, to manifest something means to make it known. So the manifestation of the Spirit, that we would know that the Holy Spirit has been given to us by manifestations. The manifestations of the Spirit are the gifts. We know the gifts are diverse. We know there's a diverse activities the gifts work in, diverse ministries that they work in, and now there's a manifestation of the Spirit that would be given to each one for the profit of all. Notice again, each one. I believe that every Christian receives a gift of the Spirit, at least one. As each one receives a gift, it is for the profit of all. There might be one exception to that general statement, and that is the gift of tongues. Paul will say in chapter 14, when I pray, my spirit speaks mysteries to God. When you prophesy to help all people. When you pray in tongues, it's for yourself. But we could say that self-edification through tongues can be for all as well, because you being healthy spiritually, having that right relationship with God, is a good thing for the whole church to experience you, whatever part you are. He says, for one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. A word of wisdom simply seems to be the ability to speak the right thing at the right place at the right time. A good word. Wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do in those circumstances, in that place. Wisdom is full of nuances. If you don't do good with nuances, then you're not going to be a very wise person. You've got to be able to look at each situation and know what fits in each situation, although there might be a lot of complicated things there. So the first gift that he mentions is the word of wisdom. That perhaps Paul had the word of wisdom when he stood up in front of the Sanhedrin, which had Sadducees and Pharisees there, and he looked out and realized some of these guys don't believe in a resurrection, and some of these guys do. And so Paul said, I tell you the truth, brethren, I am here in front of you today because I teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after he got done speaking, the Pharisees said, this is a pretty good fella. We like this guy. And the Sadducees said, we don't like this guy. And they started arguing in front of him. And Paul was rescued from that particular point. May have been a word of wisdom. So a word of wisdom, that's a good gift, isn't it? Bible says, desire the best gift. Well, what's the best gift? Depends on what you do. If I say to you, wear your best shoes. Well, the context would tell you what your best shoes are. If we were going to play tennis and I said, wear your best shoes, you wouldn't wear your best dress shoes. If you were coming to staff meeting and I said, wear your best shoes, you wouldn't wear your best golf shoes. So the context would tell you. And so the context tells us what the best gift is. Again, nuances. Nuances in life and how God's using you and what God's doing. So it says, through the Spirit, a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge. That, by the way, the word of knowledge is a scary gift of the Spirit. That is, that God would suddenly let you know some information that you don't know. Like you might be able to walk up to somebody and say, God told me that you're doing this. That's where you hear the gift of knowledge being used. And someone goes, if someone has the gift of knowledge, then I don't want to be around them. Because I don't want that gift to be known and used on me. Sometimes preaching, people will think that I have the gift of knowledge. They'll seriously come up and go, you were looking at me the whole time during that sermon. You preached just right. You just spoke right to me. Some have jokingly said, you follow me around or something. Because you're speaking just to me. I don't know that that's the gift of knowledge. I think the gift of knowledge could work in different ways. But in essence, it's most likely when God really has to get pointed with someone, has to really deal directly with someone, and God gives somebody some information about that person. And so the gift of knowledge is used. It's usually when you need to bring correction in to someone. And if you're ever going to use the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, if you have that gift, I don't know that you should announce it beforehand. I have the gift of wisdom. And I'm going to now operate on it. I've seen people use their hand like an antenna. There it is. There it is. I've now got that gift of knowledge for you. I also encourage you in all the gifts of the Spirit to be humble. Say, I believe God told me to tell you this. If you know that God gives you the gift of wisdom from time to time, then be humble. Don't say, God told me to tell you the gift of wisdom. You better say, I believe God told me this. Even in prophecy, the word of knowledge, perhaps knowledge that, you know, as I said, it works in different ways. Again, nuances. But the gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. So the same Spirit brings both. To another, faith by the same Spirit. I love that as a gift. Faith. Being able just to believe that God will do something awesome. Just believing. You just know God's going to do it. People say, well, it can't be done. People have tried that before. How many times do you get that? People have tried that before. But you just believe God's going to do something. So you step out and do it. It says, to another, gifts of healings. Notice that it's plural in both, gifts of healings. That would indicate that it's a gifts of healings, meaning they're for individuals. That the apostles seem to have the gift of healing in that Peter walked down the street and his shadow fell on people and they had faith and they believed. Paul sent his work handkerchief or his head handkerchief, whatever, he sent that to someone for them to take up, and as a gift of faith received it. So then these television evangelists of the 1970s caught on to that, and they sold their handkerchiefs for $149.95, and you could untie their handkerchief over your knee, or you get a rope that you would untie the miracle working power of it through there. That's not what was happening there. These were apostles, and one of their signs of an apostle was the ability to heal people. And so Peter and John say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And people got up and walked. But it is also interesting to me that Paul seems to have had some kind of a physical problem. Paul says to the Galatians, you would have given me your own eyes if possible. He also says to the Galatians, you know that it was because of an infirmity, an illness, that I stayed there with you. Seems like he wanted to move on, but he got sick while he was there and couldn't move on. He also says to the Galatians, you see the size of the letters that I'm writing with. That's my sign. That letter's from me. So he probably, at the end of the letter, would write the last part, tell so-and-so hi, in his own hand. Most of his letters were dictated, and he would write that in his own hand, and then they could see the large letters because Paul probably had an eye problem. So if Paul could tell somebody to get up and walk, he could heal people as he did, then why couldn't he heal himself? Because the gift of healing doesn't work that way. These guys, the faith healers, that travel around and pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets and tell people to make a line, I'm going to pray for you, and if you have enough faith, you're going to be healed. If they really have that gift, then it's an awful thing for them to hold that event. If they have the gift of healings, why aren't they walking into a hospital and praying for people? Why are they playing games? Why is there not one documented healing in a Benny Hinn event? Why? Not one. Not one documented healing. Why do they take older people, put them in wheelchairs, wheel them up front, so that when they have them stand up, it looks like there's a miracle that's taking place? Why are they taking advantage of people who are already suffering greatly from illnesses, and they're taking advantage of them? I'm not saying God doesn't heal, because God does heal. But God heals as He chooses to do it. Not a person that gets the gift of healing. Charlatans have gotten a hold of that, and they have taken advantage of people. And I have my own personal experience with it, which is one of the reasons that I'm so emotional in this particular area of faith healing, because my dad had Lou Gehrig's disease. We went to a guy by the name of V.W. Grant. My dad went up front to be prayed for. When he wasn't healed, he was told that he didn't have enough faith. I experienced in the family the exact thing that happens there. We had a guy come to our church from a faith church here in town with Lou Gehrig's disease, because he wasn't healed from it at the church, and they identified it as sin in his life. Of course, it's got to be sin in their life. There's got to be a reason their gift of healing isn't working, so it's got to be their lack of faith. And so he left the faith church and came over here, finished out his life with us, because he had, in essence, been rejected by them. False doctrine can sometimes be devastating in the lives of individuals. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and I believe that happens. And we pray for people, and we need to pray for people. But these guys that say that they have a particular gift of healing and they can lay hands on anybody and heal them, and like I said, they're not emptying out hospitals, something's wrong with them. If you had that gift, if God gave you a gift and you could pray for people and they would be healed, what would you do with it? Would you go hold a crusade and pass around the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket? Would you go have a $2.5 million house on the edge of a lake? Would you do that? I don't think you would. And I don't think they've got that gift, by the way. All right, let's get back into our text. Nothing wrong with a little emotion, right? So it goes on to say, to another the working of miracles. So gifts of healings, and to another a working of miracles. So the ability to be able to do a miracle. And this might come along in any number of times and ways. And in church history, it said at certain points of revival that there were people who could do that. To another, prophecy. So the ability to be able to speak for God. This is one of the ones that you find that you found in the charismatic movement that you do today in the modern day charismatic movement. Prophecies in a service, it's kind of manufactured to some degree. You got guys playing the music. He takes a pause in between the music. Everybody's quiet. And then somebody says, thus says the Lord, you are my people, and I love you, and I'm going to do good things in your life. That's called the gift of prophecy. I'm not sure that that's genuinely the gift of prophecy. Again, it's diverse. It could work that way. I heard often in the, again, my charismatic and Pentecostal days, I heard often, oh, you know, my people, I, God, am telling you that this church is going to be 5,000 people. I heard that often. There was the prophecies were always these good kind of prophecies. Also, that was the response to tongues. Somebody would pray in tongues, and then somebody would answer and say, oh, my people, I love you, and they would give a prophecy in tongues. But we've already learned, and we're going to see it as we go on, that tongues is men speaking to God. That is not the interpretation. It might be a tongue that is a genuine tongue, a move of the Spirit, and it might be a prophecy that is a genuine prophecy. I find myself skeptical, but they could be genuine and not be the answer to tongues, not be the interpretation of that gift of tongues, because it will always be a prayer. When you speak in tongues, your spirit speaks mystery to God. It will always be. You can't lay hands on somebody and pray in tongues over them. If you did, it would sound like this. Father, you are so magnificent. You are awesome. You are worthy to be worshipped. You gave your life for us. That's what it would sound like. Because your spirit speaks mysteries to God. You magnify God. It says that in Acts chapter 10. It says it in Acts chapter 2. It says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Never is there a time where tongues were given, where an interpretation was anything else but magnification of God. All right? So the gift of prophecy could also come from the pulpit. If someone's preaching, God gives them the gift of prophecy, and they speak of a future event. It could come from an individual who says, I feel like this event is going to happen. I'm thinking of a prophecy that somebody gave me 6 months before the election. This latest election, by the way. So it came true. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. So to another, the discerning of spirits, a very important spiritual gift. Sometimes the person that has a discerning spirit just knows, there's something right here. The spirit behind us isn't right. The discerning of spirits, we need to be discerning individuals in general, but the discerning of spirits is powerful. Let's finish out this list. We'll pick up our study next week at the top of the list and recover just quickly, and we'll go more into detail in these last ones. So different kinds of tongues, we'll talk about next week. To another, interpretations of tongues, we'll talk about next week. But one of the same Spirit works all things, distributing them to each individual. And note this, and I really want to end here, we'll cover this again next week, as He wills. You don't get the gift of the Spirit that you will. The Spirit uses the diversity, the different ministries, the different activities, and gives the abilities, which are gifts, to individuals as He wills. We aren't out doing what we will, but He gives the gifts as He wills. That's really important for us, so that when you're praying for a spiritual gift, you say, God, use me, put me in ministry the way you want me to, let me be in the activities you want me to be in, and give me the gifts of the Spirit, the abilities, the supernatural abilities given by your Spirit that you want me to have. It's your will. We surrender to His will. We're not telling God that He ought to give us this gift or that gift. And we certainly shouldn't go around telling people what gift they're supposed to have. It's not as, you know, the pastor discerns or the denomination says, this is the gift you should have. But it's as the Holy Spirit wills. And so there's a whole sense of surrender. I feel like I've just scratched the surface of this topic. So we'll pick it up again next week. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.